fish heads, roly poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum. Fish heads, fish heads, roly poly fish heads.
Laughing happy fish.
Hey guys, welcome back. I hope everyone had a good break. This is Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. I'm your host, Ben Sargent. And man, it's been a long time. We didn't have a show last week, and I'm excited to be back in the studio. And today I'm here with an old friend of mine that dates our relationship dates back to the early days of my chowder bar when Shakes used to come in, Chef Shakes, and do a special tuna night. I've kind of been following Shakes through his career in New York. And every time I hang out with you, it gets a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. You know, I try to keep it real. You know, is that they say on the radio? Keep it real.
And Shakes got his nickname. He is a master chef, but he has a tremor when it comes to holding his knives. So you hear a lot of clinking and clanking. That's how he got his nickname. And then on the boat, you were radar. Is that where the ears?
Yeah,
the
I got ears. Some good ears. I got that like a taxi cab with his doors open backwards. You know,
and so I think you were the first person to show me how to do like a proper Maryland, Louisiana style boil, seafood boil.
Oh yeah, they're fun.
And that's kind of what we're going to be doing today. We've actually started. We've got the water boiling. Hopefully, we don't have the right propane tank here, but we're hoping that it will.
We're cool. We're rocking on hibachi.
Okay, yeah, we went hibachi style, and I think we've got all our ingredients, so we're kind of ready to go. But I just wanted to get a quick history basically on you and then on, let's talk about the dish first and then we'll get to you. The dish originated, I guess, from Cajun style, right?
Yeah, I think, there's different variations. Like mm-hmm. you have the Cajun style, the Northeast.
Right.
I mean, I think they've been probably doing this since the beginning of time, throwing a bunch of stuff in a sack and boiling the crap out of
and
it.
And some
you know?
Spices.
Add
yeah.
some spice. I don't, you know.
Right.
It's definitely not reinventing the stone or anything like
right.
that.
Right. This was sort of interesting to me that I didn't quite realize that I always thought that Cajun cooking was, I mean, it's a Southern thing, but actually its origins are from the North, from Canada. And we're here with Mike, fellow Canadian, who I'm sure is, licking his lips over there. But we are going to be, I guess we're doing a traditional, pretty standard Old Bay type.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I guess a new American traditional. I don't
okay.
know. If you do it more than once or twice, it becomes a tradition, right?
Right. And this is your uncle's 4th of July sort of style?
Yeah, well, he's we lived down in Florida for a while, and then he lives down in Houston. So it kind of has that Houston, Gulf of Mexico kind of
right.
essence to it.
Cool.
And it's pretty simple. It's just...
apart from the Polish kielbasa that we're using.
Yeah, but you know, you like to keep international flair, you know?
Right. And the Mexican shrimp we're using.
Exactly. You know, well, it's a food of the people.
Right. let's talk about the shrimp for a second. I mean, we don't have to go too into detail, but like there's shrimp farming these days. I went down to Louisiana and I got to hang out with the community down there.
Right.
Vietnamese shrimp fishermen. And one thing that's interesting, first of all, it was like this community that they built up, I think in the 80s, maybe earlier. All these guys really knew how to shrimp fish. And they came over and they sort of made this community along the bayou. And it's crazy. It looks like Vietnam.
Right, I can imagine.
You know what I mean? And there's like little rice paddies, and they're using all the same aquaculture that they, you know, developed in Vietnam, came over here, had a much better handle on fishing shrimp, and took over the industry. But then Katrina came, and Katrina just wiped it out. And all these guys who had been like, you know, saving up to buy a boat, they had their boat, they were paying off their boat, and, you know, the storm comes and it just wreaks havoc on the whole industry. And so for a long time there, the Louisiana Vietnamese shrimp fishing community was like in peril.
Right.
And now they're sort of rebuilding. But you know, a lot of guys are out of the business now. And, so anyways, America has turned to, farming, and specifically Ecuador, Mexico, and all these kinds of crazy places. Do you have an opinion on, you know, where your seafood comes from?
Well, I was looking at it a little bit this morning, and it's really a 6-to-1, half a dozen the other. I mean, at one case, when you do the shrimp farm, you're not sucking up all the other animals and stuff like that.
Right.
But the shrimp farm actually destroys the agriculture that it's at. I mean,
exactly.
Because they're putting pesticides in the water to allow the shrimp, and so it kills everything else.
Right.
It's not like when they're doing the shrimp farm, they're not actually... It's not like you think they took a lake or they didn't build a bunch of, you know...
Because
aquariums. They didn't build like a huge aquarium where they're growing shrimp. They actually went to a little bit of coastal water and pretty much destroyed... they destroyed everything that was there, and now they're just growing shrimp.
Totally.
So, you know, it's a process. Are you destroying shrimp at... Are you destroying the world out in the world, or you're destroying this little pocket? It's, you know, and it's really, you kind of decide which is the worst of two evils.
Which is the worst of two, yeah, exactly. And I mean, shrimp fishing by nature, you know, it's trawling, and they're using, you know, so everybody on this show is always wild caught. And like, man, that's pretty rough when you're talking about trawling nets. Like, you are taking everything out of the ocean, you know, every darn thing in the way of that net.
Right. But, you know, I'll say, it comes to salmon and stuff like that, farm-raised salmon is disgusting.
Right, you don't like it.
It's gross. Yeah. It has no flavor at all. And I think I haven't had enough shrimp, wild and farm-raised, to tell the difference.
I can't tell the difference.
I mean, a shrimp is kind of a smaller animal.
Right.
So maybe it won't get that difference.
Right. Yeah, it's true. I mean, the only thing that I know is that in terms of diseases and things like that, you run a much higher risk of, you know, developing something that you can't control and kill when you're dealing with smaller aquaculture.
Right.
And then you have a big problem because you're introducing that into the food chain. And not only that, but then it leaks out if you're along the coast, all that blah, blah, blah.
That's one of those things. Definitely. It's a pick your poison. Like, either way is really a good way. That's because at this point we're eating so much shrimp now, we have to do something. I mean,
totally.
You know, and we're not going to, unfortunately, I've over the last couple of months, opened back up into the, you know, the whole, like, cutting down on the meat and stuff that I've been trying to do in my diet now.
And your girlfriend, Shakes, is a vegetarian, right? How's that for you?
It's good. It's kind of opened my eyes in a lot of things, you know, and I eat less meat now, which is kind of good. I feel a little healthier. I mean, I still throw down a steak or can't turn by a piece
in
of bacon.
In front of her?
Yeah, she doesn't care. Good. There's no meat at the house, but out to dinner. It's not that bad.
I never, ever thought the day would come that I would see you working at a vegan establishment, but...
It's kind of nice.
It has happened.
Yeah, it's opened my mind to a lot of different things. And
Chefs is helping out over at Food Swings in Williamsburg, and it's like, you know, this guy is like Mr. Meat, Fish, and Poultry, and suddenly I'm like, dude, what? Where are you?
Everyone I tell that, they're like, really? What? Whoa, what happened? Like, Mr., you know, how much can I wrap this bacon around? Like, how many different animals can I put on a plate?
Exactly. All right, well, let's see how this guy's doing. We'll throw in what we need to. I wanted to talk to you. Oh, good. Let's do it then. Give us just a little rundown on what you're doing here.
Well, basically, we just, you know, take, I think, depending on your strength, I do like 2 parts water, 1 part beer.
Okay.
We're going to do a little more beer than water today because we have more beer with us.
Yep.
It's kind of fun. We're cooking in this little radio studio here. It's like almost at a campfire. But you take that, get it boiling. You know, we got the Old Bay, Old Bay is just a classic crab spice.
Right.
It's not vegan.
Not vegan. What makes it not vegan?
I don't know. Maybe it is. Huh. I've never really looked, but I'm pretty sure. I'm sure that I think there's like actual like crab. I don't know. Let's see, celery salt.
I know our sausage is not vegan.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe it is.
Throw in whenever you need to.
Right. So we're just gonna take this. We'll crank in.
Awesome.
We got the nice little bucket. We got some corn there.
Yeah, this is a proper steamer. Apart from not having our or boiler, I don't know what you call it, but apart from not having our what do you call it? proper propane tank, it's got this really nice, it's like a sieve, and what it allows you to do is throw all your ingredients in, dunk it in there for the however many minutes you need to. How many minutes would you say?
Till the shrimp
is red.
Well, I think maybe we'll dunk it in a couple minutes because the pork,
and okay,
we'll dump the shrimp in because the shrimp's only going to take like probably 3 minutes, and the pork might take four or five.
So we're filling up our basket here. We've got our corn, our onions, our sausage, and our
couple of lemons.
Yeah, nice. And where did you start doing the seafood thing in a serious way?
Probably when I moved to New York. I mean, I've cooked my whole life.
But you kind of entered the big dog arena for a while there, didn't you?
Yeah, I was for a while. I mean, I cooked with David Burke for a while, and I was over at Ono, which is in the Hotel Graham Support.
Right.
My first job here was just line cooking over at the Aqua Grill, which is
Where you must have gotten your ass handed to you.
Yeah, I definitely learned something about cooking some fish, you know, when you're doing like 75, 80 pieces of salmon a night.
Right.
Although that is a place where I stopped eating swordfish.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, you know, you do enough swordfish and you see a worm the size of your thumb pop out of the fish. You're like, okay, that's enough swordfish for me. It's a dirty fish. I don't recommend eating. And it's high in mercury, too.
Right.
Eat Escalar. It's much tastier.
Okay. Do you know, this is interesting. Escalar gives you a wild case of the shits.
Because it's a high mercury.
It's a high mercury, and there's something else in there. And it has been banned by a number of countries because you actually legally, you really need to tell people when they go home that they're going to be like running to the toilet after eating this really nice, buttery, fleshy fish. But it just has something about its nature will make you unbelievable. It's a laxative. That fish is a laxative.
Yeah, this is supple.
Yeah. So if you see Escalar on the Japanese menu, you might want to ask them, you know, just how much you should be eating before things turn ugly.
Yeah, we're kind of doing this rough. So like, we got the onions and we got the corn and the sausage, lemons, Old Bay.
Yep.
Black peppercorns, bay leaves.
What kind of beer would you go? I wanted PBR, but it didn't happen.
I don't think it really matters. I mean, I probably
heavy doesn't
probably a lager.
A lager,
I'd go more with a lager. You might be able to go with Brooklyn lager. I've always done it with lighter lagers.
Just good pitch there. We might get a sponsor out of this.
Yeah, a little Brooklyn lager, delicious.
This episode brought to you by. Actually, this is a Fairway sponsored event here. Thanks Fairway for making this possible.
All these fine products can be found at Fairway.
Yeah, right. Or for $1 million, you can go up to the garden on my block. now Shakes is you got your start on a vessel, a nuclear vessel. You're the essence of like why people become chefs. So like, cause this guy's a fucking badass.
Yeah, I did a little climb over on the George Washington, the big steel pig as we used to call it, CVN-73, which is an aircraft carrier.
And that's like a small city out on the water, right?
Yeah, when you're out. Okay.
Yeah.
We just got the tomb. We got a peace sign, I think.
Right,
victory,
right.
I think we're victorious.
Victory. He was like, that was a peace symbol, not a two-minute symbol. He's like, I hate aircraft carriers. But you were in Iraq. You were serving the first. Yeah?
Yeah, I was in the first Gulf War, so I'm a certified veteran, I guess.
You are a veteran, and you've got the tats to show it.
Tats, and I got the one my little VA health card, which is the only thing I got out of the service.
And you were an actual mess cook, yeah?
Oh yeah, that was the mess management specialist.
Mess management, and we will not harp on the fact that you were also in the drama club before you became a Navy.
Well, you know,
man. See, I like
the spotlight. You know, what can I say?
I told you I learned a little. So this Chefs is Shakes is a very tough looking guy, but he told me yesterday in confidence that
I was president.
Drama geek.
President 2 years, yeah. I went to state and forensics, so that was awesome. I did a couple of those musicals, you know, Guys and Dolls.
That's
why
you did it. It was the musicals.
Yeah, it was a musical.
My friend stuck a sticker on the back of I have a really cool, tough looking truck that I've wanted all my life. And it's such a dorky thing to have such a, you know, tough truck when you're not a tough guy at all. And my friend took the liberty to put a bumper sticker on the back of it that said, this car climbed Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I found it yesterday after driving around for a few weeks. I was hanging out with a few firefighters and out in the Rockaways wondering why I was getting the cold shoulder. It may have been because of the bumper sticker.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But that car could make it up Brokeback Mountain. anyways, we will be right back. This is Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It, sponsored by Fairway.
Smell!
We are back. Catch it, cook it, and eat it. I'm here with Shakes, no other. Chef Shakes, tell me, we were talking about your early days on the battleship.
Aircraft carrier.
I'm sorry,
aircraft carrier. We had names and stuff. Planes and shit on that.
And you guys I mean, this is like, it's pretty serious stuff for a drama geek. I mean, this is like, they were doing some damage on that first tour, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't doing anything.
No, you were just cooking.
I was just cooking.
Minding your own business, doing some cooking.
Yeah.
But they were dropping bombs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
God. And were you conflicted on that at all? Or were doing your job, right?
Well, I was supposed to be getting money for college, but that never quite panned
never
out.
Happened.
Never happened.
Really?
No, that was a little red fine line, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really sad when you have like $16,000 in your GI Bill left, and you know, $16,000 to school, and the two can't, like, just give them the money.
Oh, and you're
like, no, you got to go to school to get the money. You're like, well, that's stupid. If I can't afford to go to school, you know, it's really weird.
And that was 5 years you did on that boat?
Yeah, well, 5 years total.
Yeah.
That was really good. Boot camp was pretty easy. It's pretty much just shut up and do what you're told. I learned really quick. If they're like, hey, fold your bed this way, you fold your bed like that way, and you kind of sneak in the back, and no one, like when I graduated, they're like, whoa, where'd you come from? I was like, I was right here the whole time, just minding my P's and Q's, you know?
Is that part of military life, would you say? Is there a certain, like, swallow your pride and just do what you're told?
Oh, yeah, that's the whole thing, is that, well, they try to brainwash you, and, you know, you're supposed to be a machine or whatever.
And cooking-wise, you become a machine, don't you?
Oh, you have to. When you're doing, like, we used to do, I'm adding the shrimp now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we do, like, I do bake shop most of the time.
Okay.
Because I was good at baking. I don't know. Well, when I flew onto the boat the first day, it was actually a pretty good little story. Like, they get you on there, like, okay, you're going to the boat. And you're like, all right, sweet.
Yeah.
So they grab your bag. You got your duffel bag, everything you own on your back. And
right.
You got your little sailor suit on, you know, you got your little bell bottoms, your dungarees. You rock out, and they got this little plane, this little, like, two-propeller plane. It was actually a mail plane.
Okay.
So they got all the mailbag stuff to one side, and they got four seats. They strap you in both. They're like, all right, here we go. You're facing backwards in the plane. The cargo door shuts up, and you start going up. It's bumpy as hell. You're shaking all over the place.
Yeah.
And steam starts coming inside. You're like, are we on fire? But it's just the clouds, because it's, like, it's not even sealed properly.
It's not sealed. Unbelievable.
And they're like, all right, in 30 seconds, we're going to drop. And you literally drop, like, 9,000 feet, like, boom, straight. And then when you land on the carrier, you get whiplashed back because it's a cord.
Right, that grabs the plane.
Right, so you drop straight down, and then all of a sudden, boom. And they're like, everyone reach your puke bags. And I totally puked.
Oh.
I totally let it go. But it was great. Yeah, but I was with pride. Like, they opened the door up, and I grabbed my bag of puke, held it above my head, and I was like, I'm here. And the guy's like, good job. Get the fuck off my flight deck.
We never want to see you again. Go cook.
Yeah, so it's kind of scary. You got like four guys. You don't know where the hell you're at. You know, you just puked your guts out, you know. This guy's like, go.
And then there begins the next, about like three months of your life.
Exactly.
Right?
You know, there's planes landing and flying. There's people, you know, you're like, get the hell off.
Is it true that you don't see, like, you don't see daylight for days?
Well, it depends. I mean, there's got, like, we work down on the galley. Mm-hmm. There's two galleys, and then your barracks are like 100 feet behind where you live.
Right.
So you live, you know, you walk, you know, 500 steps to work every day. And sometimes you just get in the zone. I mean, you're working 18, 20 hours a day. You get off work. Boom, and it's right there. You don't see light. Sometimes you volunteer to take the trash out so you can go up to the
just see the light.
You're like, oh, and you totally lose track of days. Like, I think the longest we did was like 74 days, 74 days at sea, without seeing land or beer or women or anything
nothing.
You know, nothing.
I mean, that's why these Navy guys go absolutely insane.
Yeah, that's why you get a bad, you know, it's like letting you out of prison. It's like doing time in prison. They're like,
you have one day to go drink and find women.
Yeah. You got like 30 days, you're sailing, you're working your ass off, and then they're like, hey, welcome to Greece. You got 48 hours. And you're like, what? And you just try to fucking drink everything you see. I mean, what else are you going to do? You're like, oh, I'm going to go to a museum. No, you're not.
Right.
No, fuck that.
Oh, my God. And then how did you, I mean, I would imagine after 5 years of that, you are done.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like high school, you know?
Yeah.
When you look back on it, it's a lot more, enjoyable than it was when you were there.
Right, right. It's great for storytelling, but that's about it.
Yeah, and it's good for reminiscing. You definitely you definitely get a good little brotherhood out of it. Like in time these days now, you run against anybody that's in the military, you're always like, you know.
Right. Are you in touch with anybody from that stint?
Yeah, my buddy Paul, actually, who I did the first med cruise with.
Yeah.
He's out in Chicago. Mm-hmm. The little Facebook thing is weird.
Soldiers use Facebook?
Yeah. Yeah. We had like a little George Washington website, Facebook stuff. And actually, the FSO, Chuck Horton, we used to call him Chuck Hitler.
Yeah.
He was a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
He found me.
What's the FSO?
Food service officer. So he's like the divisional officer. Okay. So he was in charge of the S2, which would be the.
So he was in charge of you, basically.
Yeah, okay. All of us.
All of you.
Yeah, the whole little area, the food service. So
I see. And he was...
He was a monster. We used to call him the ghost in the darkness. Because he'd be like all cool joking with you and disappear in the office, come out 2 hours later, banging pots and pans, throwing water all over the place, and just screaming. And you know, you'd literally cower like,
I can't even imagine. I mean, would you say that you got your cooking chops doing that? Is that your...
Too, you know, and I got a lot of cooking chops at the Awkward Girl, too, because that was also a little war zone down there.
I mean, I would think cooking for, you know, it's a little different doing 100 cover versus doing a 3,000 cover.
Right. Well, there's a lot different, you know, when you've got to make 8,000 chocolate chip cookies with a 1 ounce scoop. And we just call it just dropping a hammer, just two guys.
Dropping the hammer.
Just sit there for 8 hours a night.
Flipping cookies off the trays.
Yeah.
How many? How many cookies?
Like 10,000 chocolate chip cookies, you know, 5,000 portions.
Unreal.
Yeah, two portions per person.
What else would you guys eat on board? What were the favorites? What were the least favorites?
We had a lot of things. Fried catfish. Oh, those little buggers went crazy for the catfish. They'd line up around, you know. Pizza night was always good. That's the worst thing about being a cook is like every once in a while, you'd be out to sea for a while.
Right.
So the captain would be like, for a little moral welfare, you know, to raise the spirits of the crew. They're like, oh, we're going to have a Steel Beach picnic.
Okay.
So they get all the planes off the flight deck.
Where do they go?
They put them down in the hangar bay.
Oh, okay.
So
go bomb for a while. We're having a picnic.
Right. So they give the whole ship the day off, you know, except for like necessary jobs and watches. You got to stay and watch. We set up grills up on the flight deck and have like a little barbecue,
that's
you know.
Awesome. That
well, it's
great.
Awesome. If you're not a cook, because everyone else has the day off, and all they have to do is eat and beat off. That's all there is to do.
And
so people are like,
you're running all the stuff, up
right?
The
so like,
deck.
great. Like, oh, everyone, let's give everyone a day off and have a picnic up on the flight deck.
Oh,
well, who do you think cooks the picnic on the flight? Us. So you're like, oh, crap! Now we don't get to sleep at all today. Like, ooh, great day off. Ooh, this is great.
The morale is really good in the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly.
How old were you when you started?
18.
Wow.
17, 18, right out of high school.
Wow.
You know, that's the best time to go.
Yeah, that's the only time to go.
Yeah,
because this is when you're dumb enough to
go. Exactly. You're like, oh, I can drink overseas. I'm going.
Right. What were, I always loved the like kitchen confidential stories that you get out of what I would imagine on a boat like that, you must have insane stories.
Oh, we had all kinds of stuff. Like, we'd do flour dough and like huge piles. Like, you know, we'd have like 300 pounds of flour,
right?
And it's the dough, it's all soft and squishy. And sometimes we just like headbang right into the dough, just like slam our head into the dough because it's like a big pillow and it
right.
it's, you know, it's kind of disturbing to think of, like four guys standing around
with
slamming
sweaty
their,
heads
yeah,
going into the dough,
slamming their head in the dough. And also, if you've ever been to crack house or the smoke room and someone was smoking and they'd be talking trash on the galley or whatever, you get their name and you'd be like, ah, petty officer a Peterson over there. So you go to your buddy on the line, like when you're working omelets or something like that, and you're like, yo Peterson, about 10 deep. Oh, yeah, that guy over there? Yeah. Dude, he says we suck and don't know how to cook. And you're like,
He says your omelet sucks.
Yeah, he says your omelet sucks. So the omelet guy, you got the huge grill of omelets, and they come through. You know, you come through the line, and there's the grill.
Yeah.
You put your tray up, and the guy slaps the omelet on there. So you'd either get him with the old omelet, and you put the raw egg right in the center omelet and just close it up.
With shells and everything?
Shells and everything, and just slap it on the guy's plate. And there's nothing he could do.
Right.
He starts talking like, hey, keep moving. Keep the line moving.
Right.
Or if he really pissed you off, it was a repeat offender, you take it and you grease trap down in the bottom, you throw his omelet, we call it a trofflet, and throw it down in the grease trap down in the trough, and you slap that on the plate. Make sure you get the grease over everything.
Unbelievable.
And these guys are waiting like 45
like
minutes.
In all the like nasty, like, charred, oil greasy, like so it comes out like a black omelet.
And it's best because you're waiting in line for food for like 45 minutes. I mean, you figure there's 3,000 people
and you
eating.
You're hungry, probably.
Yeah.
Wow. That's insane. You were saying something about, like, there. I know, obviously, it's kind of, I mean, I got to make the parallel between that and prison, but there's certain things that are gold that would not be gold anywhere else in the world.
Oh,
we were talking about cereal the other day.
Oh, yeah, like Lucky Charms. Like, you get the case of, like, little Kellogg's.
Yeah, like the ones we used to get in the grocery store.
Yeah, like the little
6-pack or 12-pack.
Yeah, you go to the diner and you ask for a bowl of cereal, they give you that little ass weenie box.
Yeah.
And you need at least 3 of those for a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But in a one case, like 144, you get 4 boxes of Lucky Charms. So we would sit out there in the morning and see who could eat the most boxes of Lucky Charms.
So out of 144 packs, you'd get 4.
44.
Oh my God, okay.
So you'd go through like 8 boxes for breakfast, right?
Yeah.
And a normal day.
Yeah.
But we'd sit out there and we always ate first. So we'd sit out there and we'd eat literally the day supply of Lucky Charms.
You guys are bastards. That was because you felt little because you were not, you know,
We didn't get to drop bombs to kill people, you know. So.
All you could do is eat the Lucky Charms and make everyone miserable.
That's a rough life, you know. Yeah. You got to do what you do. But it was good for swapping, you know. And it's all about like who you know and what you can get. Like the postal workers.
It's literally like currency.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the postal workers or whatever, you know, like that's the main thing you want, mail and food.
Okay.
So the mail guys would call up to the galley.
What do you mean you want mail? Just because it's like your only nice moment in the day?
Well, this is back before like cell phones or internet. I don't know if they do any of that. You know, when you're out to sea, they can't really be on cell phones or internet because you can compromise the situation. You can't let people know. So the old snail mail is the best way. You know, nothing like a care package when you've been floating around for 30 days.
Sure.
Unless you get one of those Dear John letters.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever get one of those?
No, I never got one.
That's rough, man. As if your life wasn't hard enough.
Yeah, you're out
there. And your girl's like, oh, by the way, I met some guy. He's like a preppy dude from wherever.
You're like, oh, I'm with Jody now. We just call Jody.
Or
in the kitchen, we're always like, whenever you burp or sneeze.
Right.
I just forgot what it is. I totally brain farted. I'll have to come back to it.
I just remembered Mike's a brat as well. He's a military boy. And then I want to know, like, seriously, what's the worst, grossest, nastiest story that you can give us for terms of cooking on board?
Oh, I don't know. It's probably the trifle. It's probably right up there with the nastiest. I mean, you can't mess with the food too much. I mean,
what about you were telling me about the mortality rate on board these boats as far as like,
oh yeah, one day we were up in the forward galley, we had forward and aft was like the full service. You had the salad bar and the two meats, the potato, the fish, and all that. But the forward galley was just like French fries and burgers and stuff like that.
Fore and aft, front and
back. Yeah, aft would be back, forward would be front.
Right.
And then, so one day these Marines come in, these jarheads come in, and they're like, hey, you got 10 minutes to get everything you can out of the walk-in. And we're like, screw you. Like, what are you? And then he pulls
Because they're not allowed to walk into your kitchen.
Right.
Like
well, they kind of are. Well, the Marines can kind of go anywhere on the boat. They're the security team. You know, and they have weapons. It's, you know, when the Marine comes running down the hallway.
So do you. You have weapons, too.
Yeah.
You got knives. And
but they're carrying, like, machine guns.
And flour.
But when they come running in the hallway and they're, like, hit the deck.
Yeah.
If you don't hit the deck, they're allowed to just punch you. And
really?
Yeah, they can butt you out and throw you on the floor.
Jeez. Such a,
they're like Secret Service kind of thing.
Oh, man.
So that's why they're all pricks.
My little Williamsburg world doesn't know much about people being able to punch you if they want to.
But he's
hierarchy.
This guy comes in and he's like, you got 10 minutes to get everything out of the walk-in. So we call, you know, the watch captain, like, what the hell? You know, watch captain's like, what's going on here? I'm in charge. They got to know. And the guy explains to him. He's like, all right, get everything out in 5 minutes. How many burgers do you think we need?
Yeah.
So we go in, and next thing you know, they're hoisting the coffin over the grill, wedging it into the freezer. A guy had just committed suicide a couple hours before or whatever, and we were close enough to land. They didn't want to put him down in the freezers. So they're like, we'll just keep him in the freezer in the fridge for a couple hours, and then we'll ship him out.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so that was kind of creepy.
Wait, hold on. So they literally take a guy who he's killed himself.
Yeah.
And they're putting him in the cold storage?
Yeah, well, he's in a big box. You know, he's in his coffin. I mean,
next time you consider joining the military and eating on board a vessel, I would suggest not doing either one of those.
Yeah, I think we got another victory sign, but I think that's because the shrimp are done.
I think the shrimp are done. How's it looking over there?
They're looking pretty good. It smells all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Should we don't need to stir it or anything, do we? Do we need to add beer?
No, I think we're good to go.
this is, let me check this out.
Yeah, they're nice and pink.
Wow.
Perfect. Okay. Awesome. Yeah, this is probably, I got to tell you, Shakes is probably our only success, cooking success on this show. Mostly it's just like totally botched cooking projects, but we're like it's radio, so nobody has to know. But this one, I'm actually legitimately looks like a proper boil.
All right.
So thank you very much for showing us the ropes here. Man, I'm so bummed we have to end kind of early, but I would love to hear more stories about this.
Well, I'll come back anytime. This is definitely a good time.
Would you?
Yeah,
this is cool. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, this is fun. It's
so
like a Saturday Night Live skit, totally.
Where, I just before we end this, I'd love to know sort of what your plans are for the future and like, I don't know, what's the Chef Shakes strategy on life these days?
I'm rocking out over at Food Swings, helping them out over there.
Making veggie vegan meals.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good once you get used to it.
Yeah.
You just got to go in the right mind frame.
Do you like working for a smaller establishment?
Yeah, definitely. I'm more into like, I'd rather work to live than live to work.
Okay.
And also got a little rock and roll band going on, a little dirty punk rock. It's called the Afterbirth.
Afterbirth, that's right. I get daily updates on the Afterbirth. I'm like, gross.
So check us out on MySpace. And if you like to, you know,
you guys play at Auto Shrunken Head, right?
Yeah. We're actually looking for a bass player right now. So
there we go. Okay.
If you're into covering yourself with blood and wearing diapers or whatever.
Contact the radio station. Call in if you're a bass player and you want to work for a crazy, crazy chef/musician. Here's your guy, Chef Shakes. Thank you so much, man.
All right. Peace.
All right. Awesome. You heard it here. Catch it, cook it, and eat it. We're out.
Who can you call?
We catch in the brim. When the river's on, we jump off the bridge. When we get home, we play some.